This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Let's see. Happy Avocado Day. This is a call, according to Bianca from the Daily Memphian. I get the early word, which is the email that you get sent out. And you say, you know, everything that's happening in the world. And not every day, but a lot of days, she'll tell you what we're celebrating on this particular day. So among the things we're celebrating, because now every day is multiple things, right? So Avocado Day. King George is with us once again. Jeffrey, I'm going to presume, like last I heard, he was hung up in some airport on the way to San Diego. I think Salt Lake City. We're going to hope he got there and is having some relaxing days. George Ruggiero is going to be with us today and tomorrow and Monday. So how are you on avocados?
I like avocados.
You like an avocado? Do you ever eat avocado, a slice of avocado or avocado toast, or do you just like guacamole?
I don't think I've ever actually had avocado toast, now that I think about it, but like...
Like it's smeared like butter on a piece of toast. It's pretty delicious. I've had it.
It sounds good. Like, it sounds like it makes sense. It
sounds like something. Let's be honest. Oh, never mind. Do men order... I'm going to be totally sexist here. Do men order avocado toast?
You know, now that you say
It seems like the kind of thing that more women eat than men. I've eaten
that. Oh, absolutely. I mean,
but I think,
and I know people that have.
Again, like this is a little ridiculous that I start out with a burst of sexism.
I was gonna say, we are on this Thursday starting morning. Off hot on a Thursday. This is great.
Well, we'll go the opposite way because the other day it's chili dog day, and
now I understand.
And we have a. We have a song. No, it's not. There's not like I didn't do this at all. This was not my plan. But if you're going to gender stereotype, don't you think more men eat chili dogs and more women eat avocado?
100%. I thought with this. So yesterday afternoon, as you know, Kevin Cerrito filling in for Jeffrey as the host.
The work that George is doing here, 7 straight hours of radio yesterday, and today he's going to take on another duty, which we'll get to in a minute. Were you running on vapors at the end? How was it? And what happened? What were you about to tell me?
So we had the great CJ Hurt as our guest, as we do every single Wednesday.
Yeah.
And somehow, oh, I know exactly how. We talked about Glorilla's new meal at Checkers and Rally's.
Yeah.
That turns into, I think it's like a $4 meal deal.
Okay.
Like it's drink, apple pie, burger, sandwich, fries.
Okay.
And that got us all on the conversation of fast food. What would your order be? We have CJ Hurt on, and he says...
Chili dog?
Sonic chili cheese coney would be the biggest part of his meal deal if he had one. I thought at some point you would run across this... In your travels yesterday, and you're like, we have to play this. But now
No. I just saw that it was National Chili Dog Day. The song Jack and Diane, which people know, where he's Jack sucking on a chili dog and all that stuff. In honor of the day, there's a remake, a very popular remake of the song, re-recording of the song in honor of the day. We'll play it to set the tone. It's really genius. Does one suck on a chili dog? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
In fact, I was thinking about it because I, well, you called it a Coney.
Well, because it was
Sonic. Is that what they call it at Sonic?
I believe so.
I tried to look up today. Listen, it's the last day of July, people. We do have the Hall of Fame game. We'll get to that. It's the trade deadline. We'll get to that. But I tried to look up who invented, in the same way we recently discussed who invented chicken wings. I think we can turn that down. Who invented it? And there's really no clear inventor. Philadelphia, then through Pennsylvania, then there's a place in Buffalo called Texas Ted's Red Hots. But it is a thing that has different names, different places. Wherever you go, it's called something else. A couple of questions about this. I love the idea of a chili dog.
I know where you're going with
this. I think they're just a little too unwieldy because you're not. And I mean, I tried to eat one at what's that burger place on Poplar the other day. I tried to. It's a fast food. They sell hot dogs, and it's just a mess. It's just to eat it in your car. It's just gonna get on your shirt.
Everywhere.
I don't think a chili dog is, in fact, you're going to get it. You just cannot eat it successfully without getting it everywhere. I think it is, I would say, like, I once said that I thought, and I've gotten endless grief for this, s'mores were overrated. And I still believe that, despite the heavy pushback that I've gotten. But, and I'm not going to say a chili dog is overrated because it is delicious. I just am not sure it's worth the trouble. I think the idea of it
is better than it
is
in practice.
Is better,
yeah.
Maybe than it is. Have you ever had the, like, I'm very daring. Would you ever go into a gas station, just a gas station, get the hot dog on the roller, and then they have that metal bin the metal spoon that slots in and get your hot chili that's probably been there for 5 days and put, have you ever done that?
I have not. No,
I absolutely have.
And I bet it's great.
Well, I don't know if it's great or not, but I risk it. I have no problem risking it. Anyway, happy Chili Dog Day, people, to all you who celebrate and are out there sucking on a chili dog. So today on the show, it is a special show, not just because we have the trade deadline, not just because NFL football is back, sort of, but not just because we've got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. That happens every day. We get him straight up at 10 o'clock. Now, Chris has a mailbag out over at the Daily Memphian, and it's a three-part mailbag. Ooh. It is a three-part mailbag. So part one dropped today, and in part one, he discussed, among other things, the Grizzlies' lease situation. And interesting to get Chris's perspective on this. So we'll talk to him about that and other matters. But that's not the only reason it's special. It's also special because we normally on Thursdays have Writer Than Right trivia. Now, we always have a fabulous prize. And I was a little worried. One of the things that would seem to be integral to Writer Than Right trivia is Wright. It is Jeffrey Wright. Like, how you can't play. How do you play Writer? I mean, like, Cerrito, I'll be all with all respect. I've got all the respect in the world for Kevin Cerrito. But we have played Writer Than Right trivia without Kevin Cerrito before. I will occasionally step in, and I don't do the kind of good job he does, but I can muddle along. But how do you play Writer Than Right trivia without Wright? It seems really sort of impossible. And yet, who steps up after doing 7 hours of radio yesterday, another 7 hours today, putting himself on the hot seat? What are we going to call it today?
I think we're going to call it, what, Writer Than Ruggiero trivia?
Writer Than Ruggiero.
Which is going to be very easy.
We still have the alliteration. It's Writer Than Ruggiero trivia. Now, there is a, I could have done it. Here's the thing. I could have done Writer Than Calkins trivia.
Yeah.
But you know what? I don't want to answer all those questions because you're on the spot and you're exposed as being an idiot. And so Jeffrey does it. He has the courage to put himself out there every week. And our callers have the courage to call in and get demolished by Jeffrey every week. How did you decide that this is something you were willing to do? In the interest of handing out a fabulous prize.
It is definitely part of that, the prize, the fact that we're giving away two Friday passes.
What are we giving away?
Two Friday passes to the FedEx St. Jude Championship coming up in a couple weeks there at Southwind. That's
so
a great prize.
And I think, Jeffrey, it is great. So you get the golf tournament coming up next week, and you get two passes. And as Jeffrey always points out, I think under 15 free. I think if you're under 15,
that's
you
correct.
Get them free.
Yeah.
Like it is always a spectacular time, and it is the Ben is as good or better than it has ever been. Hell, you got the next Tiger Woods coming to town this time. So
yeah.
So we're giving away that, and so you just decided people needed to have the prize, and so you were willing to sacrifice yourself.
I am more than willing. I also host trivia for Cerrito on Thursdays, so.
But you host it, but you're not good at it?
No.
I
don't have the knowledge, but I know how Kevin writes the questions, so I might have
How does he write the questions?
Convoluted as possible. I don't know where they come from, but I know good and well that they are going to be the most complicated questions
right.
for the simplest answer.
Anyway, so we're going to be playing right other, and the nice thing is you can notch a victory. Like, you had no let's be honest, you had no chance against Jeffrey.
Oh, no.
But
zero.
Today... You could call in when we do this in the second hour and not only walk away with the fabulous prize, you walk away with a metaphorical crown and a championship. So all that in the second hour. We got Chris Harrington with one third of his mailbag and Writer Than Ruggiero trivia here on Chili Day. All right. So today in the world of sports, we have the trade deadline and we have NFL football, sort of. Which are you more excited about?
Me personally, trade deadline.
Trade deadline.
Yeah. I am a big baseball fan. I try and follow as much
as I can. So we'll lead with the trade deadline and tell them the news today.
News today so far, if you guys were not up late last night, Cardinals making a couple of moves.
Well, that was big. I mean, Ryan Helsley.
Solid closer dealt
to the Mets. They get a bunch of prospects back there. And obviously, it became, over the last few weeks, it's become clear the Cardinals not just were going to be sellers, but had to be sellers, right?
Yeah.
So do you dig into the prospects and say, yeah, well, did they?
No. Sometimes. Okay. It kind of depends.
Prospects.
If it's a bigger name, yeah.
And then Mats goes... as well for Blaze Jordan.
Local product.
DeSoto Central, right?
Absolutely.
I don't know if he's going to end up here or not, but that's kind of fun. And you said your mother teaches and may have taught Blaze Jordan?
She taught for a long time. Both myself and both my sisters went to DeSoto Central.
Uh-huh.
My mom taught at like
she
the...
Teach?
She was the computer teacher.
Okay.
At like the primary school and... You know, again, Blaze is a more than a fair few years younger than myself. So there is a chance. I don't remember off the top of my head, but,
yesterday, the big move is the Mariners get Suarez.
Yeah,
that was the big one. Now, will Arenado get traded today? We shall see. Blue Jays made a move.
Blue Jays made a big move, picking up another starter. Righty Shane Bieber, former Cy Young winner.
He's coming back from injury.
Yes. I think he's had four starts in the last year, which he is still coming off that injury. But he should fit in pretty nicely in Toronto.
I see people screaming about what are the Yankees going to do? What are the Yankees going to do as the Blue Jays load up? What's your team?
I'm a Rays fan. I'm from Tampa originally. So Tampa Bay. We had a little trade yesterday. Shipped off one of our starters for some little pieces.
Anyway, it's trade deadline day. If there is big news there, we will certainly bring it to you. I heard another radio host proclaiming that we made it. Here we are, July 31st, and there is a football game on TV tonight. Okay, there is a football game on TV tonight. It's the Hall of Fame game, 7 p.m. Chargers versus the Lions. Have we made it?
No. No, like...
No. We have not made it.
We have like, not made
if,
it.
If what made it means is have we gotten through the dog days of summer to where we can actually talk about games, with all due respect, No. There will be players in football uniforms playing tonight. But to say that we have made it, no. When have we made it? Like when, what that means is it's football in earnest. Like we can really start talking about football and the games. And when does that, is it a week before? Do you actually have to have a regular season college football game before we've made it? Is it the week before? When have we made it? Do you have to have real preseason games? The games, the preseason games where players who are going to be relevant sometimes play?
That's where I'm leaning, probably.
Mid-August?
Mid-August is about the time where we can start to say, you know what, we have made it. I mean, that is just, I think about it, 2 weeks away that we start having real preseason games.
We're very close.
We're close, but I don't think we're there yet.
I don't think that under any, listen, we got tonight, we got, honestly, two very intriguing teams. None of the intriguing players are going to be playing. We'll get to that in a minute. But we have two very intriguing teams. Because you've got the Chargers, you're wondering if they're going to take a step forward. 11-5 last year, disappointing in the wild card once again. That like, and honestly, offensively they struggled last year. They did discover Ladd McConkey. Broke my heart that the Bills didn't draft him. He was my guy, and he's going to be fantastic. But so Harbaugh comes in. They have a good year. They're good defensively. They didn't light it up at all offensively. But it's funny. I've seen a lot of people in the West say, in the AFC West say, you know, I think the Chiefs are vulnerable. But the team that they circle as the contender is Denver. It's not the Chargers. I wonder if the Chargers could be sneaky. It's year two. You know, Ashton Jeanty is getting a lot of the publicity, like who's the rookie who's going to hit. But I have no conviction about whether Amarian Hampton, who was the 22nd pick in the first round, he's the Chargers pick, whether he, like, could he very well be better than, yes.
He was fantastic at UNC.
He was fantastic at UNC. So they add him, Trey Harris as well. They add Trey Harris. And so.
My guy.
You know, they got to get the offense a little bit up to speed. Jeffrey's not a Herbert believer, but it almost feels like he's going to break through at some point. So are the Chargers going to take a step forward? And then for the Lions, it feels like everyone is predicting that they're going to take a step back just because of the coordinators. You got Ben Johnson gone. John Morton is now the offensive coordinator. And Aaron Glenn is gone as defensive coordinator. Kelvin Shepard is now the defensive coordinator. I really think the whole conversation about the Lions is so unbelievably disrespectful to Dan Campbell. It is. First of all, people mocked him when he was hired. Okay, they mocked him when he was hired. Then Meathead, whatever else, all of the press conference, biting kneecaps, all of that. Then it turns out he does a magnificent job turning around one of the worst franchises in football. And now he does that, and people give him credit as a culture builder, right? But now that his offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator are gone, the lingering idea that he's still a meathead at heart, and all he did was get people to run through walls, but all the X's and O's are someone, which I just don't believe they're going to take a big step back. And partly that division is murder, but I'll believe the Bears do it when I see it. J.J. McCarthy's effectively a rookie. Yes, he's got they bolstered the offensive line. They got a great head coach, offensive coordinator. They got incredible weapons, but he's effectively a rookie.
He's taken zero NFL snaps.
Jordan Love has certainly regressed last year. I still think the Lions are the class of that division. That is my conviction there. I think people are underselling the Lions. I think they're the class of the conviction. And, of course, we won't see any of that tonight. Jared Goff hasn't played in a preseason game since 22. A preseason game, much less the first Hall of Fame preseason game, which is
a month before others.
The Hall of Fame game is the game where they bring the Hall of Famers into the booth and just talk about them and you, maybe the football is going on in the background. You do have some interesting players who might play, though, of local interest. Hendon Hooker is the Lions backup. So we could see Hendon Hooker playing. DJ Ungalele is the charge. Well, there's they have Trey Lance and Tyler Heineke and DJ. But we could be seeing the Hendon Hooker DJ matchup tonight. It's not like that is not without any. Like, you're
there's
not convinced.
A, there's some juice there. There's not nothing.
We haven't made it, but it's not nothing. It is football, and it is, yeah. So anyway, the Hall of Famers, by the way, what do you think of the class? Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates, Jared Allen, and Eric Allen.
I like the class. I think that's a...
There's no juice in that class whatsoever.
I don't think there is, but I think all of those players were the kind that were just quietly excellent.
Well, one of the interesting things...
Well, maybe not Sterling, but we all know...
He wasn't quietly excellent.
There's a sweet story
with his brother telling him he's making the Hall of Fame, like all of that, like the Sharp, like all of that.
Yeah.
So, what's interesting, though, is because we have this constant conversation about who's under pressure to win a Super Bowl, and whether it's Lamar or Josh or Burrow or whatever. Like, you got to win a title. And maybe I'm just protecting myself because I don't believe my Bills will ever win a title. Like, that's my firm conviction.
Right there with you.
So I just, I'm a pessimist at heart. So, but I've always believed that greatness does not, in fact, require a title. I just don't think it's true. Like, I also don't think it's true that you can't enjoy your team and have a rich experience as a fan if your team doesn't win a title. Look at every single Memphis Tiger fan who's ever lived in basketball. They've never seen their team win a title, right? And have there not been wonderful, glorious years that people treasure? And of course there have been. So, but what's interesting is, I looked this up just before the show. Between them, he got four Hall of Famers: Sterling Sharp, Antonio Gates, Jared Allen, and Eric Allen. Between them, how many Super Bowls have they won?
I just went and checked three of them because I know the answer.
You checked.
Well, I knew the answer for one.
Yeah.
And we had talked about this very quickly before we went to air. Zero.
The answer is zero.
The answer is zero.
There you have four, the entire Hall of Fame class, and the answer is zero Super Bowl titles. I don't even know how many Super Bowl appearances. I didn't double check that.
Out of all of them because I don't think Sterling ever went to one, if I remember correctly.
I mean, Antonio Gates was a Chargers. They never went.
They never went.
Did they go? Did they ever go? I don't think they ever went. Eric Allen Eagle? What was Eric Allen chiefly?
Eagle and Raider, I want to say.
Jared Allen Viking?
Yeah.
They might
have gone to one?
No Super Bowl titles, none. Zero. By the way, the game is played in Canton, you know that. You know the name of the stadium there?
I do not.
It's the Tom Benson, the Saints owner, stadium. Hmm. And like, why in the world is that the Tom Benson stadium? And the answer is $11 million. Tom Benson.
That'll do it.
Gave $11 million and got his name on the stadium. All right. I hope you're enjoying your Tilly Dogs out there today. And we're going to take a break. We're going to come back and do Righter Than Right. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then we'll be giving away two tickets to the golf tournament if you can either be Righter Than Ruggiero or just play honorably. We'll do that next. Jeff Cochran Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. We got a big second hour. We got Chris Herring coming up straight up 10 o'clock. He's got a mailbag up, including talking about the Grizzlies lease. Then we're going to play Righter Than Ruggiero, a version of Righter Than Right trivia. And in this version, it's easier to win. Evidently, George tells me anyway. And so we're going to be giving away two tickets to the golf tournament. So that'll be fun. You got to either be righter than King George or play honorably. We will do that in a moment. We have also been celebrating National Chili Dog Day. And this has inspired one listener to offer his own chili dog song contribution. But first, It was inspired by, well, here's the original. Let's play the original a little bit. Okay, I think you're getting the idea. It goes on and on and on. It's got very complicated lyrics, and I think you should be playing it in your head as you are eating today from wherever you want to get a chili dog. But anyway, a avid listener did send his own version, and I'll be honest, when I started playing it during the break to myself, I was somewhat skeptical. I don't find that people coming up with fake lyrics to songs is often as funny or clever as they think it is. Don't you think that's true, George?
On the whole, yeah. On the whole, that's true.
My own fake lyrics, you know, totally different from that. They tend to be hilarious. But
Every time.
Now, I don't want to oversell this because it's not that great, but he did do it totally on the fly. And I'm going to have to see if this works. I'm literally holding my phone up to the microphone. This is a version of a Chili Dog song. Here we go. Wait.
Listening to Calkins on sports radio. Found out it's Chili Dog Day. Said, I got to go. I was eating on my chili dog outside the Tasty Freeze. Took a big bite. Got some chili on my sleeve. Oh, yeah. The day went wrong. As soon as I took a bite of that chili foot long.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good. That's... He got it on his sleeve outside the Tasty Freeze. His day went wrong as soon as he took a bite of the foot long. That's pretty good.
That's so, not bad. That's pretty good.
Wasn't the worst effort that I've ever heard. All right, let's play Believe It or Not. They will ultimately find the perpetrators who shot Corey Adams, the Ole Miss defensive end who was tragically shot in Cordova.
I have to believe it, right?
You do.
I think we do. Just to have some sort
of
belief or faith in you know our public services.
Well, and I bring this up, there's a story about this in the Daily Memphian today, and obviously it's a
tragedy.
Absolute massive shame. Tragedy. The idea of sending your son off to college at 18 and that's it is absolutely devastating. And then the fact that he's a high-profile guy because he's an Ole Miss football player. And so the authorities made it very clear that this would be a high-priority case. I mean, the truth of the matter is you just got to feel like police are short-staffed enough and the need is so overwhelming that they prioritize. Don't you think inevitably they prioritize? I mean, you would think that every life should matter as much as every other life, but you would, and they said, we're going to make this a high priority. And so, and there are people who know. There are people out there who know what happened, right? There are people who know out there. But anyway, the story in the Daily Memphian today about this raises some disturbing questions, honestly. Among the things, this paragraph, officials at Ole Miss would not comment on reports that at least two other football players were also wounded in the shooting. Although Ole Miss officials have not confirmed any other victims, podcasters and online chroniclers of the football team have named two other alleged victims as members of the team. Now that's rough. It doesn't feel like that is confirmed that's happened. It doesn't feel like they were able to confirm it. And I don't see who actually in this story, it doesn't say who made the original report and whether that was a credible source or not. Goes on to say more than 40 shell cases were found. But then Jody Callahan wrote the piece, talked with Calvin Wooten, who was the owner of the home where this happened, okay? And we did get some clarification about this. And again, very clearly, if anyone knows anything about this, tell the authorities. You know, like in the end, you want justice to be done for this young man and his family. Anyway, Calvin Wooten said his son organized the party as a money-making venture, charging $10 a person. Here's the quote. My son threw a pool party. We had security at the party. He was just having fun and making money at the same time. Nothing happened at the party. That's why I don't understand. Why would someone come through shooting like that? Wooten said he believes the shooters fired from Beaver Valley Lane, which intersects with Fern Glade Cove, home to just five houses. I guess the house itself was on Fern Glade Cove. And it's about 200 feet from the house where the pool party was. The shooting happened in the street. It wasn't in the cove. Here's the crazy part. There were cars in front of my house, in front of my driveway. My house didn't get hit. My car didn't get hit. Wooten also denied that there were more than 100 people attended the party, as officials suggested earlier, saying it was around 50 to 60 people. I talked to probably 3 to 4 detectives that night. They still didn't tell us anyone got shot. I didn't know someone got shot until the next day, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I would certainly hope, and partly I'm bringing this up because if anyone knows anything, a Crime Stoppers has offered a reward for information that leading to an arrest in the case, 901-528-CASH. But the fact that we're sort of here and it doesn't feel like anything has happened makes me wonder if we will ever get resolution on this and if we'll ever find out. I mean, I'm going to presume that ultimately we will learn whether, in fact, two other Ole Miss football players were involved or not. And what was the genesis of this? So that's just an absolutely tragic story. And I do hope that they ultimately can get to the bottom of it. Okay. Here's the next one. George, you know why? You have a pretty good idea why Memphis football doesn't generate more juice. And let me give you the background here before you answer that.
Okay.
And I tell you why I ask it. And again, you measure these things. Who knows? Like, you can't really scientifically measure the interest in Memphis football versus the interest in Memphis basketball, right? But Memphis football has reconvened. We had Ryan Silverfield talking yesterday, talking about the running backs. Actually, I feel reasonably enthusiastic about the running back. Sutton Smith is, after getting hurt in the North Alabama game last year, and he looked like he was poised for a big year. He gets hurt with the ACL. He's back. He's cleared. Greg DeRozier, who no one had even heard of heading into last year, he steps up. He looks explosive last year. He then breaks his collarbone, but he's back. He's healthy. Like, well, they should be good again. And yet it feels to me, and one way I measure stuff is what do people read in the Daily Memphian? Like, we know what people read, right?
Yeah.
Take John Martin. If John Martin writes a column about Memphis basketball, lots of people read it. And it generates lots of discussion and comments and whatever else.
Buzz.
If he writes a column about Memphis football, nobody reads it. Not nobody, but many, many fewer people read it. The stuff that it feels just like the stuff that Parf writes about Memphis basketball gets a lot more traction than the stuff that Frank writes about Memphis football. And Memphis football arguably is the more successful program. So I'm going to say it again. You have a theory as to why Memphis football doesn't have more juice.
I don't. It's odd. I'm not totally sure why it
doesn't. Do you
think
it's true?
I do. I do think it's true. Now, could it be history and tradition? Sure. Could it be Penny? I mean, you've got the prodigal son, you know, leading the team and coming off of one of the best seasons he's ever had.
I don't have any questions about why Memphis basketball still has juice. Like, in other words, it's a legacy of history.
Absolutely.
And it's a legacy of Penny. And so even the truth of the matter is it's diminished from where it once was. When I first got to Memphis, I couldn't, you know, I came from Miami where there's four major league teams and I couldn't believe I was driving around. Weren't there at the time? There's baseball.
And I was about to say the Marlins barely count.
They're four major league teams. They're four major league teams. I was the Marlins beat writer, so I'm counting them.
Okay.
So,
fair enough.
And I'm driving around Memphis and I'm like, oh my God, they're talking about college basketball 24 hours a day. Like I couldn't believe it. And then you sort of learn the history and you understand. And so it's not at all, even with the relative sort of historic lack of success that they had measured by Sweet 16s, I still do understand why Memphis basketball does generate stories, publicity, conversation, all of that. I don't really understand why Memphis football doesn't. Memphis football feels to me like something that people go to because they do. They turn out, even if it's not in as big numbers as you would want, it's not the 34,000. You'd want that team to be averaging 34,000 or 33,000 or something. Like, people do go. Like, 18,000 people, 20 more people. More people go to those games than go to the basketball games. It's a bigger stadium, but just in terms of just numbers, more people. But it doesn't feel like there's much buzz. And so then I partly do ask, because I question myself on this. Is Ryan Silverfield partly responsible for that? And I go back and forth. Very clearly, Ryan is not interested in generating PR in the way that Mike Norvell was. It's just he's just not interested in it.
True.
He doesn't do as much radio. He doesn't do as much. He's just not out in public generating. Like, he doesn't consider that clearly part of his job. Or whatever. It goes back to the back when Mark Giannotto reported on the party bus, and he's like decided he doesn't trust the media ever since. And then it's not as exciting, right? And so I do lay some of the blame at the feet of Ryan Silverfield. But it's also true, honestly, if you're being honest with yourself, that you look back at the when Justin Fuente was rolling and when If they lost a game in their first six, people checked out immediately then too. Like it was, we'll care about Memphis football if they're undefeated or if they're, you know, but otherwise it's never been, we don't sit here and analyze the running game, and we never have really of Memphis football, unless it's D'Angelo or something, you know, then you might. So I don't really understand why there isn't more buzz than there is. And it feels like once again, you know, they got their own stadium. They win double digit, like whatever. It feels like there should be more. You can argue they have been more successful than the Memphis basketball program in recent history. And yet to me, it doesn't come close to generating the same kind of buzz. I haven't looked to see what the story numbers are today for the stories that we're writing about Memphis football. Or is it just because in the end, there's a limit to what they can be? Like, we know there is a hard ceiling, but there isn't even that anymore because they can go to the playoff. There's not even a hard ceiling on what Memphis football can be anymore.
And normally, I think if this was an even more recency or I don't want to say short-sighted, but recency-biased, influenced conversation, we could say, oh, well, I mean, look at the disappointment of Memphis not getting into the Big 12, even with this fantastic offer that they were able to put forward.
But this goes beyond that. That goes to basketball and football. I mean, that wouldn't hurt one more than the other. Okay. You think the nickname for the conference that contains the University of Memphis should be the A? This was proposed to me by Gabe. Because, like, his theory is this, that every credible conference has an acronym. Like, sure, the Horizon is the Horizon. But otherwise, they're all the ACC. The SEC.
Big Ten.
Like, there's numbers and letters, right?
Yeah.
It's not really true of the Big East, though. This was his theory. So I said the American Athletic Conference should now just be, its nickname is the American. Just like the Horizon is the Horizon, it should be the American. He said, no, we need to make it. And so he was trying out the A.
I heard this. I was still in the building, actually.
Are you co-signing? Who's going to win the A?
If we're also tying in, did Gabe let you in on Connor's influence on calling it the A?
I don't think I knew this was a Connor production. What was Connor's role?
It was a Connor co-production. You know, this is they have a partnership on that show.
Yeah, of course they do. Yeah.
He was involved there. He said the A is perfect just because the conference is ass.
Oh.
So.
That's terrible.
Is he wrong though?
No. Yeah. Yes, but no. That's terrible. It's not going to catch on.
I
can tell you right now, it's not going to catch on. Okay, but I asked it because here's the next one. The A did a smart thing with their changes to the conference basketball tournament. And for people who miss this, now everyone isn't getting to go to the conference tournament. It's the top 10 teams go. So in the men's side, three will be left out. And instead of four double byes, there's two. The top two seeds will have a double bye, and they will get a double bye straight into the semifinals. So if Memphis is a top two seed, they don't have to pay some slaw team and risk losing or getting exhausted or getting injured. They only have to win two games to secure their bid. The A is doing smart things.
I think that's a very smart thing.
And you believe that?
I do believe that. I believe that they made the right decision. It, in a way, gets them more in line with the way that some of these other G5 conferences handle their tournaments. Because at the end of the day, every conference wants to be a multi-bid league, multi-bid conference. And
well, what it does... There's no question, and
it helps out the better teams.
Yeah, if you have a conference which is loaded with great teams, then having more games creates more opportunities to get good wins. If you have an opportunity that's loaded with ass teams, to use Connor's expression, then there are more chances to get bad losses. And in the end, if you're Memphis, even let's say it is a one big lead, you're teetering. You want to cut down on your chances to lose games to bad teams, and you want to, you know, it's stacking the conference tournament in favor of the really elite teams in the conference. That's what it is. And it should. It's the right way to do it. It wouldn't be the right way to do it if you're the SEC. It wouldn't be the right way to do it if you're the Big Ten. But it is the right way to do it if you are the A. There is no question about that. Okay, here's one off the world of sports. You're punctual.
Is that it?
That's it. You're punctual.
I believe I am punctual.
You are punctual.
Yes.
Okay, here's another one.
Certainly try to be.
You judge people who are not punctual.
I think it depends how unpunctual.
How unpunctual.
Because I do think there's a limit, right? I think you can agree with that. If it's, say, within 5 minutes, I'm not upset at that. But if it's going beyond 10, 15, 20.
I bring this up because I say this, mind you, I was late to meet someone for coffee by 20 minutes the other day, and I felt so mortified. So I apologize. But I tend to be extremely, particularly if someone else is involved, I tend to be extremely punctual because I don't want that person to be waiting for a minute wondering where I am. And I think it's rude as hell. And but there's a story in the New York Times today, and it's sort of absolving people to some extreme. It says basically that people are wired to either be monochronic or polychronic. Okay. And societies as well. So if you're monochronic, you emphasize deadlines, you work sequentially, you complete one task before you move to the next. The United States is like a direct boom, 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 boom place, right? Whereas Latin America, Africa, the Middle East, polychronic societies, people more comfortable with sort of time being fluid and whatever else. And what it actually says is that some of this is, I literally judge people who aren't on my time schedule, who don't value it the way that I do. The point that this story makes is it's what you are prioritizing. And people who, for example, are prioritizing relationships in some ways tend to be polychronic. Like, so for example, if you are doing a task, okay?
Sure.
And you're interrupted, are you irritated or are you, or do you welcome the chance to learn and have an interaction with another human being?
More often than not, it doesn't seem to bother me. I mean, as long as it's not completely and totally
people
frivolous.
Who are monochronic will find this to be fundamentally irritating, right? That they're focused on their job, their task. They look up like a right.
What now?
People who are polychronic, they give primacy to experiences and relationships that don't always fit neatly into prearranged schedules. And each of these things, the theory, at least according to the New York Times, and I'm not sure if I buy it, is that each style has its own benefits and drawbacks, and then that one is not superior to the other. Let's take a small example. You're invited to dinner at 6 o'clock. 6:20 comes. You have a partner and your partner says, let's eat at 6.
Sure.
6:20 comes, you still haven't eaten yet. It's not, doesn't appear things are being close to be put on the table, whatever else. Is that cool or does that bother you? I mean, if you're invited to someone's house to have dinner at 6, I think the understanding is you're probably
exactly.
going to eat at 7. You're not going to eat the moment you walk in the door.
Absolutely.
Right?
For sure.
But at 6:20, I'd start looking at my clock and saying, what's going on here, man? I definitely am, what is it, monochronic, as opposed to, I do not consider time to be fluid and that relationships are, no, Let the relationships fit into the clock. That is my general view. And I still, I'm not even sure I buy this. I think it's rude.
I think I'm kind of in between because on one hand, like if it is, okay, I'm meeting my friends out for a drink or dinner and they say, hey, let's meet up at 6 o'clock.
Okay, meet at six. What time? You're meeting a friend for dinner. Dinner. You have a dinner reservation at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
If they roll in at 6:15.
Well, here's where I'm going with this.
That's rude.
No, that is. But here's where I'm going with this because I've done that before. However, every single time, if I know,
you text and you say, yes.
Every time, if I think I'm going to be two minutes late.
That you text acknowledges that it's rude to be, at what point is it, okay, you're the person who's waiting.
Yeah.
At what point, and you haven't gotten a text from someone.
See, that's.
No. But at what point does it become rude? I don't think it's 6:05.
No.
At 6:05, it's still fine.
Yeah. 10 minutes?
I think if you're going to be more than 10 minutes late.
Better text. Have to. Required.
I totally blew it the other day, so I'm lecturing here, Uh-oh. But I 100% blew it the other day. So anyway, so there you go. All right, we are going to take a break. We're going to come back and talk. We're going to, in the second hour, we are, I say this, by the way, have I ever gotten to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock? Never. No. I don't think I've ever gotten to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We're going to talk to Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock coming up next. Then we're going to play to Writer Than Ruggiero trivia, which is easier than Writer Than Write, but the same fabulous prize. How about that? We'll do that next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.